we're just thankful for what the Lord is doing. That's a great thing. When you go to Israel, it's more than just an archaeological kind of tour, seeing different sites. It's seeing what God is doing in the land. You go there, and it's just it's one miracle after another to see what God's doing. I want to talk a bit about that. Listen, on soup and sandwich luncheons, I usually try to be done at 11:30. It's 11:35. So, yeah, I know, eh? Not quite happening today. But listen, I'm going to share a little bit because I just feel incomplete if we don't get into the Word of God together Sunday morning. So turn with me to Ezekiel 37 because I want to share a little bit about you here in Ezekiel 37. And again, what God is doing in the land of Israel with the people of this Jewish nation. It's exciting to see. And that's what the first time I went, was in 2002. And that's what I took away from that tour, is just to see. I was excited to thinking, man, I'm going to go there. I'm just going to be weeping over these places that I'm going, Jesus was here. Oh, it's so beautiful. I just thought that would be just emotional and overtaken. And it wasn't that, because the places are so different than what you imagine in your mind. There's a lot of, you know, Catholic kind of churches that have been built up. It sort of takes away from some of it. But it was amazing to see what God is doing in the land. That's what blessed me the first time I went. And it's exciting to go back every time to see how God is stirring in the hearts of his people. And when we go as a group, what I love to see is God just stirring in our own hearts too. And that's what we do. We want these tours to be more than just a sightseeing tour, to be a tour of ministry and to see where God is really working in our hearts as well, revealing himself and his word to us. And that's what we see happening with everybody that comes, just being blessed as the Lord is speaking to them. So, Ezekiel 37. The reason I want to talk about this is a great prophecy, the prophecy of the Valley of Dry Bones. You guys have probably read through this. You've seen this before. But what's neat about this is when we were up in Masada, Masada was the first place we went to, right there by the Dead Sea. Let's put up Masada. Let's put up the aerial view that we see of Masada, because you take a tram up. You can walk up Masada if you want, but we take a tram because, well, I'm lazy. So that's how we go up there. And this is the aerial view you see here. And that's the Dead Sea kind of in the background, the little bit of water that you see, that's the Dead Sea in the background. Masada was a place that Herod built for himself. Wow, that just kind of was weird. I can't see anybody now. Okay. You guys okay with the lights out, or you want a little bit of light on? Can you see your Bibles? It's fine? All right. You're just happy you don't have to see me now. That's it. So Masada is a place that Herod built. It's up on a huge kind of flat rock. It's a natural fortress, all right? And Herod thought, man, I'm going to build a fortress here for myself. And Herod loved to build. So we go up to Masada, and you see all these great buildings that were built right there in Herod's day. Up in Masada, it also later became a place the Jews there were kind of held up. It became kind of their last standoff when the Romans came invading in from 66 A.D. and then finally defeating Jerusalem in 70 A.D., Well, this was the last point here in Masada that the Jews were kind of having that standoff against Rome. And it was just, again, that natural place, fortress, that it was hard for the Romans to really get to them. So here we see a synagogue up on Masada. Now, what's interesting is under the synagogue, they had found these little ostracons, these pottery-type things with different writings and stuff on there. What they also found under the synagogue was a couple scrolls, one of part of Deuteronomy, and also Ezekiel 37 was found there, which I find is very fascinating, because here's this place now that the Jews are held up thinking, this is it, the Romans are invading, the Romans are taking over, this is our last stand. And I'm sure thinking, this is it, we are done as a people, we are done as a nation, we are in trouble, we're going to be lost, this is it. And I'm sure they're thinking, Lord, what are you doing? You ever had times like that where you're wondering, God, what are you doing? How is this going to work out? How is this going to come to be for your good, Lord? I don't understand it. I don't see how that's going to happen. I'm sure these Jews in that day were sitting there thinking, Lord, what about your promises to us? What about your word being spoken to us about us being in the land? God, what are you doing here? Maybe you felt times like that in your own life where you've wondered, how is this going to work out? Well, look at what we read here in Ezekiel 37. I think it's fascinating that they find this scroll there in Masada, because I'm sure in their last days, it was this that was giving them great hope. Look at what we read. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And here they are up on the side. I'm sure they're looking out on the valley. It's dry. It's around the Dead Sea, the lowest point on earth, all right? It's dry there. And they're up in Masada, and they're looking down, I'm sure, on the valley, just as Ezekiel is being brought out into this valley that's full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them. Not only does God show Ezekiel the bones, God's saying, Ezekiel, I want you to take a little tour now through these bones. I want you to really experience what this is like. These are dead corpses sitting here now in this valley that Ezekiel is seeing. Not only seeing, but having to pass through them. Gross, right? Passing through them, all these bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. What does this mean? It means that they have been in this state for a while. There's no flesh on them. They are very dry. They're dry bones. All right? They have been in this state of being dead, of being wiped out for a while. And in verse 3, he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know, that's a good way to answer, isn't it? Because here's the Lord speaking to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, what do you think? Think these guys can live? Do you think there's any hope here? And Ezekiel's looking at this, and I'm sure thinking in his own mind, natural reaction would be, there's no hope. These are dry bones. There's no life that can come from these any longer. And I'm sure Ezekiel's going, but what does he do? He answers wisely, oh, Lord, you know. Lord, don't ask me. God, you're the one that knows these things. Man, I'm going to give a wrong answer if I start to speak up. If I try to spin this my way, God, I'm going to go way out in left field. I'm going to answer wrong. Lord, you know. I think that's a good way to answer. Just say, God, you've got it under control. You know what's happening. You know what's going on. And you're working all these things out. And again, look it. He said to me in verse 4, prophesy now to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Everybody can sing with me. Foot, bone connected to the... No, okay, don't do that. It's all in your head. I know it is. You're thinking that right now, aren't you? And look at verse 8. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Let me stop right there. What is the Lord saying to Ezekiel here? Listen, prophesy over these bones. And as Ezekiel begins to prophesy over them to live, there begins to be life in them, all right? There begins to be flesh upon them. There begins to be this action that is stirring now once again. And it's a wonderful prophecy. I think it's a wonderful word that these people held up in Masada thinking their days are numbered. Their life is coming to an end. They're going to cease as a nation. A wonderful word. A reminder, a prophecy that God can bring life out of something that you think is going to come to an end. To these people thinking, there is still hope, guys. And what's wonderful is we talk about the nation of Israel. We as a church are a church that's behind Israel because we know that God is behind Israel. And that God is not done with Israel. Now, we're a church that stands for Israel. And you will find that we will be in the minority in that today. That many churches have just kind of said, Israel's done. God's moved on from Israel now. And the church has replaced Israel. And all those spiritual promises, all those blessings for Israel have been transferred to the church. Church has replaced Israel. A lot of churches are believing that and teaching that today. We don't believe that here. We believe that God is not done with Israel. And we stand in support of Israel. And we see God's word speak very clearly about these things, that God is not done with them. And what's wonderful, because we see as we go through history now that Israel indeed, from that time at Masada, as they were overrun, the nation of Israel was scattered. They actually all committed mass suicide on Masada and said, we're not going to let ourselves fall prey to the Romans. And they committed suicide. But the nation of Israel from that point, from 70 AD, was scattered across the land. And and it seemed as though the nation of Israel had ceased to live. They were a valley of dry bones. They're scattered out throughout the world. And they were just there in the valley. And they'd lost their language. They'd kind of lost that homeland and thought, this is it. It's done. And it's incredible to see in our recent history what God has done. May 14, 1948. In a day, a nation was born. Now think about this here. For 2,000 years, thereabouts, just about 2,000 years, these were a people that were scattered throughout all the world. Not in their homeland, not identifying themselves as a nation, in a sense, geographically. But God called them together. God began to speak life into them, just as we read in Ezekiel, and there began to be flesh upon those bones again. And they began to stir, and they began to come together and connect together. And in one day, a nation was born. May 14, 1948, as Israel was permitted to come back into their land and have identity once again as a nation of Israel. Understand this, guys, that this has never happened in history before. It only takes a few generations for a nation to be dispersed and scattered for them to phase out as a people. But Israel kept their identity. They lost their language, but their language, the ancient Hebrew, was restored again to where they are speaking that again in their land. They had to, of course, create new words that they didn't have before for, you know, touchdown, he shoots, he scores. They had to create new words for those kinds of things. They didn't have it back in the day, right? So they had to figure out, how do we say those things in Hebrew? Because we didn't have to say them last time. But now they've had their language restored. Understand this, guys. The land for thousands of years sat desolate. Nobody was interested in it. It's just a barren wasteland, really. Nobody was interested in it. Now Israel has returned to the land, and you see pictures there. The land is being fruitful. They are becoming one of the largest exporters of fruit and the likes like that. People are astonished at how this land is so productive. It's a miracle. Guys, what we witness with Israel is a modern-day miracle. That's all you can say about it. A miracle of biblical proportions. It's exciting to see. It's amazing. And it's what God is doing here in restoring his people, bringing them back in land. God is not done with Israel. And neither are we. Notice what it goes on to say, because this is part of the prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes today. From verse 1 to verse 8, I believe this is what we have encountered and seen in part as people are gathering together. But there's still a large part of Israel that has not turned to Jesus as their Messiah. But notice here what we read in verse 9. And he said to me, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Now he's already said that, breathe on that they may live. But now he's saying it again. Now in the Hebrew, we have the same Hebrew word for both breath and wind and spirit. It's the Hebrew word ruach. Ruach, it can mean breath, wind, and spirit. And context determines what is being meant here. Now, of course, there's breath that is being breathed in. Now, some liken it to the breath of life as God breathed into Adam and he was given life. Many believe this is now God breathing into his people here at a future time when the Spirit is going to be poured out upon the nation. The nation, you see, verse 1 to 8, has been restored nationally. They've come into the land. They are a nation once again, fulfilling Scripture. But there's going to come a time when God is going to breathe the Spirit onto them. And they're going to look to Jesus, the one they've pierced. Zechariah 12:10 tells us. They will look at them, at the one whom they've pierced, and they will mourn as Christ is coming again. Paul says in Romans that all Israel will be saved. All Israel on that day, when they look at Jesus upon coming again to this world, they will be saved as the Spirit is poured out upon them. There will be a revival. There will be a spiritual awakening there for Israel, which is what we see happening here in the later part of Ezekiel 37. Let's read on, verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. You catch that? This is what we're talking about. This isn't me making up stories here. Let's say that these bones are Israel. Oh, that sounds great. You can teach that. But what was the word says it right here. This is the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. That's how they thought. We're cut off. You think for centuries, Jews were sitting there in New York, in Russia, in Poland, going through the likes of crusades and people killing them, the Holocaust. You think they're sitting there going, we're cut off. Our hope is lost. I believe they were. But God was at work through all that. God used something as horrific as the Holocaust to allow that to bring sympathy to the rest of the nations to say, we need to let them come back into their land. It's all a part of God's ultimate doing. They're the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Oh, don't you love that? Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. Notice this, I'll put my spirit in you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. What a great word. We are seeing that happening in part. That's why it's so exciting when we get to go to Israel, when we just get to talk about Israel, because we see that this is a modern day miracle that God is working out, bringing people into the land. He is opening up the graves as people are sitting in various parts of the world. And when you go there, you just talk to people. And you talk to Jews and it's like, man, I've just come back to the land. I've been living over here, but you know what? I just felt in my heart that I needed to return. That's awesome. That's God speaking to you. That's God leading you. You need to turn to Jesus now as your Messiah, but at least you're getting part of it right now, okay? But that's what's happening. God is stirring in people's hearts. And there's going to come a time, just as we read here, where he's going to put his spirit into them. And Israel's going to be saved. Israel's not saved because they're Israel. They don't get a special buy in. They need Jesus as much as we need Jesus. But praise the Lord, there's coming a day when their eyes are going to be opened. The blinders are going to be removed. God is still at work. God is doing a work here. And we're seeing it being fulfilled in part today. The graves are being opened and he's bringing them back into the land of Israel. Because this is God's land that he's given to them. And like I said earlier, man, that land sat like a barren waste land. Nobody wanted it. Nobody's interested in it. As soon as Israel gets into the land and starts being productive, what are we seeing now? All the nations around saying, we want that land. Israel is just a small piece of real estate about the size of New Jersey. And you've got in all the Muslim countries, countless acres, thousands of square miles of real estate. And yet they're saying, we want Israel. That's a spiritual work that's going on. That's a deception of the enemy. This is Satan at work trying to devour Israel. And they're not content in just having part of the land. What do we hear them say? We want Israel driven into the sea. We want them wiped out. Praise the Lord. That's not going to happen. Because God's got his hand on them. God's written it in his word. This is his land. God has brought them back into the land. And he's going to continue to see them through. Guys, in our lives, we might have situations where we're feeling like we've got a valley of dry bones. How am I going to get through that? Praise the Lord. God's not done with you either. And God can take every situation that you're dealing with, that you're going through, that you're working at right now, and say, you know what? It might look dead. It might look like all hope is lost. But I can bring life into that. I can restore that. I can do a work. And God is at work. We're learning that in our study in Habakkuk as we're going through that Wednesday nights. Habakkuk sat looking at the land going, God, why aren't you doing anything? God had to come and remind Habakkuk, Habakkuk, I'm doing a work. You may not see it or understand it right now, but I'm at work. God can't help but not be at work. Do you understand that? God is God. He's alive and he never sleeps nor slumbers. He is at work always in your life. And we need to simply put our trust and faith in him. That's the theme in Habakkuk, as we're seeing, the just shall live by faith. And whatever situation you've got in your life where you look at it, it's a valley of dry bones, we put our faith in the Lord and say, God, I know you're not done. Let me continue to look to you, put my trust in you, and Lord, see me through. And he will do that. We see that happening in Israel. What a great word and reminder it is for us as we get to go there and see it with our own eyes. But guys, believe it for yourselves, whether you've been there or not. God is doing a work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, for your word, for the reminder, God, of prophecy that, Lord, your hand is upon these people, Lord. Though they've walked in great rebellion and disobedience, Lord, God, though they've paid a price for that, Lord, you're not done with them. You've already given them back their land. You've brought them together as a nation, unparalleled in all of history. It's a miracle, and we thank you for that, Lord. God, we pray for that nation right now. Lord, we pray that there would be truly that spiritual awakening, that you'd open their eyes to who you are, Jesus, and what you've done for them, that you are the Messiah, the long-awaited one. And Lord, may they put their hope in you. May you continue to just do that work in people's lives. Thank you for saving Avi, our guide, and for his wife, Ariella. We pray that you'll bless them and continue to grow them in you. But Lord, may you do that with many more there in the land. Bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here right now that maybe we're reading this word and seeing the application in our own lives, looking at our own situations, going, man, there's that valley of dry bones that I'm seeing in my life. And I'm wondering, is there any hope? Is all hope lost now? Am I cut off completely? God, I pray that you would remind us that there's always hope in you. Lord, that you're not done with us. And you're not done in that situation you're working through. God, you're at work. And may we put our faith and trust in you and believe, God, that you are going to bring us out. And so we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your love in our lives, God. And we pray right now, as we break and have lunch together and fellowship, Lord, that you bless it. Thank you for all the food that's been prepared and the hands that prepared it. Lord, just bless this time of fellowship and food. And God, be honored in it now, we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.